lean on as Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And that's it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you guys enjoy the shake, rattling, and rolling last night?
Mm-hmm. Too cool.
What do you think, Stella?
Not.
Not?
Stella hates anything that goes boom.
Yeah.
That was the worst, loudest, and most longest.
That went on for a long time.
that I've lived here.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. You usually don't get on that like that.
I don't know.
No, there was one a bunch of years ago that Chuck made me go sit out on the porch and watch.
Yeah.
I
didn't hear a thing.
That would die.
Yeah, this was a long time. This was
a good
too. Yeah, I believe it.
Michigan people get this all.
Yeah.
So, last night, sitting on my couch, and it's like I'm watching some Animal Planet, I'm watching some The Incredible Dr. Pole, you know, and then just flash, my window constantly, and I'm on Facebook and checking all the different weather sources, you know, and seeing where everything's moved and seeing that the Husky game's been canceled, and just like, wow, this is pretty amazing. The sky lights up, and like, well, the sky's lighting up, it's not really that loud yet, and so I go into the kitchen and grab me an ice cream bar, go out on my front porch and just sat there and ate ice cream and watched the lightning and then heard a couple of really big boomers and I was like, okay, I'm satisfied, time to go to bed. So we are going to tackle the Beatitudes over the next several weeks. And we're gonna look at, some of them will run together, obviously, but we're gonna kind of look at them one by one. And this is, I've been thinking a lot about the different crises that are not only facing us as a nation, facing us as a state, facing us as a county, facing us as a small town in the upper Skagit River, but I'm also thinking like worldwide too, in the worldview, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. And in that, I've spent a lot of time thinking, what exactly does Jesus mean by blessed are the poor in spirit? So what is it to be poor in spirit? Because I rejoice in my spirit, right? I'm happy in my spirit. I like my spirit. And I like that my spirit is intertwined with God. But because of that, am I not blessed because I'm not poor in spirit? So what is it to be poor in spirit? Billy Graham says, if you swap this with humble, you can kind of gauge better what Jesus is saying. Blessed is the humble in spirit. So I want to start here. What is it to be humble in our spirit?
My dad once said that he was known for his humility, that he was probably the most humble person that anybody had ever met.
That doesn't sound very...
Yeah. Oh, it's a little bit tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm catching that.
Very Neil.
Yeah.
I'm catching that.
Yeah.
So if you take, if you flip it around to like the opposite of humble would be pompous or
prideful.
Prideful. Or, yeah. And so.
Okay. Well, let's go down that track. Let's look at that. Pompous. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. O-U-S.
O-U-S, okay. O-U. prideful. If you're prideful in spirit, that seems like a very pharisaical or way of looking at things, a way of being a Pharisee, of like, your faith isn't as good as mine, so you're not good enough, right? I'm better than you. I think when we start coming into that, church fails to be a hospital for a broken, it becomes more of a social club.
Arrogant.
Arrogant.
There's a good word.
Arrogant.
Lots of words to go under there.
Do you ever feel like, have you ever walked into a church and automatically just felt less than, like everybody else there held themselves to a different level than you?
Yeah, different. Not less than, but outside, very outside. Yeah.
I heard that. I heard a yes from you guys. Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, definitely.
What's that like?
Oh, it was crazy, actually. But I mean, I kept myself humble. Went in there and I went back a couple times, and then I just didn't go back no more.
Yeah.
I was down in Seattle, so when I got to Seattle, I had to test some churches. You know, I had to go around and look. I went to be honest with you. One of the black churches that I went to, it was right up on Rainier. Obviously, that's like that's where all the blacks are, mm-hmm. pretty much, right? And Asians, it's either Asians or blacks or the whether Uswalis or whatever, how you say their names. But anyways, so I went to their church, and you know, the one church I went to, they were really awesome, right? But then there was a smaller church. It was a Southern Baptist church. It was tiny with not a lot of people. We have little studies like this right here. But it was weird because they would sit over there and I would sit over here. Me and my little white buddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're separate.
Yeah.
And they move away from you?
No, they just, no, that's just how they, it was just weird. I don't know. It was just weird. That's how we sat. And then like the pastor was a black guy, right? Or whatever, the teacher, right? But he would never call on us. He would always call on them. Yeah, it was strange. And it was, and I thought about it for a minute, you know, but I was just thinking, well, maybe this time. So I went back again.
Yeah.
I went back again a couple times, you know. And, you know, so it's like, it was weird. It was definitely a weird, it was a challenge, actually. But I got to, you know, test my human, because, you know, I was raised up here in the country, and there wasn't no blacks up here, and there was no Mexicans up here, and, you know, Dad was pretty stern on a lot of things, you know, and not to say he was a racist, but not to say he wasn't either. So I was kind of raised like that, you know what I mean? So then when I went into that church, I thought I was giving something back, you know? Really? Look, yeah. Man, I don't have nothing against you guys, but then I got to see the other side. They're not so nice either, and they don't feel the same way sometimes that we think that they do about us, you know what I mean? So
what you're saying is that there was a separation between you and them.
Yeah, there was a black and white situation going on.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it when I walked in that door. I knew where I was going. I knew that, man, look, we got there one day early, and we're sitting down on the porch, and there's people across the street that started yelling at us, because we was white. What are you doing sitting down that tree? What are you doing over there? Well, I'm waiting for the pastor to come, you know? Oh, we're just protecting our church. Okay?
Yeah.
So what would be the difference if, you know, if a bunch of black people back in the day came up here, sat on the porch out here, and people would be going, what the heck are they doing here? I bet. Hey, what are you doing over there in that church? Prowling around? But you know, up there is a little bit different. It's Rainier. You know, you got Pimp. You got a pimp right down the street with his girl right down the street from where the church is. You know, I mean, it's just, it's pretty crazy. Drugs going on right by the church. It's that place, Rainier in Seattle, it's pretty wild. But you get some of those people in the church. So it's a good thing. You know, either way, you know, and they feed them and do all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they do a lot of good stuff. But I'll just say that there is definitely a separation. And it feels weird to be that way. You know what it feels weird? Because I never have been. The minority.
Yeah.
So it was weird for me to go in there and sit there, and I got a taste of, And God was showing me something. I got a little taste of what it feels like to be, you know, the minority or whatever. Yeah, for real. It's strange.
What was it like for you guys to experience the separation when you walked into a church?
Well, as soon as our church engaged with members forever, as you know, they didn't even acknowledge we were.
Yeah.
It was like we'd walk in, and we'd go in, sit down, and people were all sitting around talking to everybody, and we're just kind of like left off the side. No one even said hello or hi or nothing. You know, just completely ignored.
Well,
we've been there for 28 years.
Yeah, it happened to Chris.
Yeah, I went. I was visiting my daughter, but it was Sunday, and I wanted to go to church. So, but she didn't know where the church was. So I just got in the car and driving around, and finally found a Methodist church, of course. But the time I found it, they had already started their service. So I went in, and a lady in the entryway said she was waiting for him to dismiss the children for Sunday school. And so I went in and sat in the back pew, just very quietly, and sat there. And when the service was over, people, you know, walked by me. Some of them might smile or nod their head or something like that. But nobody spoke to me. And I let, you know, everybody walk by, and I walked up to the pastor and I said, told him my name. I was visiting my daughter. And that, of course, when the service was over, they opened these doors behind us. And there was the fellowship hall, and they were having, you know, refreshments. Not one single person invited me in. And I went out of there with tears.
Yeah.
And I said, that will never happen in my church. Well, it's not my church. It's God's church.
But. Yeah, yeah. There was one time when I was on the streets, and I've shared this before, I walked into a church in Burlington. I went and asked them for help. A nice man gets up from behind the desk and comes around and puts his hand on my shoulder and starts walking me to the door. He says, you contribute to other organizations for that. Please go see them. Didn't offer to pray with me. Didn't offer to connect me with those other organizations. Didn't offer to hook me up with anybody that could connect with me with anybody. So I want to read you something on the heels of that. The Beatitudes, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Looking back in those instances that we experienced, do we feel like we were poor at the time?
Lacking.
Poor in spirit, for sure.
Poor in spirit, yeah. Lacking in fellowship, lacking in community.
Not worthy of being in the church.
Not worthy of being in the church.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys all seen that video. There was a pastor who sat out in his, did you see that video?
Yeah.
When he sat out in front of his church as a homeless person, like dressed up as a homeless person, and sat out at the church just to see how many people would greet him, and you know what I mean, that come to that church and would greet him and everything. And then after it was all said and done, man, he walked down the aisle with all that stuff on up to the podium, remember? And then he's like, well, church is dismissed.
Yeah. Nobody welcomed him.
Nobody welcomed
him. Nobody welcomed him.
And it wasn't a small church. It was huge.
So I think we can look. I think this list of what not to be in spirit can fill up super, super fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg goes way down here through the floor and into the social hall, and it's having itself a nice cup of coffee right now. But what is it to be humble in our spirit? And what is it to share that humility with other people?
I think when you're open.
Open. Open about your faith? Or
open for, you know,
discussion.
Things to come in.
Yeah.
Open to, you know, suggestions to, you know, or open to the Spirit come in, or open to meeting someone, or
yeah.
If you see them as a person.
Yeah,
not just face value, but you look at them and listen to them. You know, when I first saw that poor in spirit, I wasn't thinking humble.
Right.
I was thinking poor in spirit, discouragement, depression, things like that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really coincide with humble, I guess. But
Well, anyway. Yeah, but you know, when I was growing up, I remember we studied this. I remember my whole impression of this verse was, blessed are the poor. And in spirit, kind of wasn't even in the verse. And so it was like, if you were poor, then you would inherit the kingdom of God. And so you would have all these riches. And even when Annie was reading it this morning, I go, I want to talk about poor in spirit this morning. So praise the Lord. You know?
Well, think about it. Think about.
Blessed are the poor.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. A homeless addict knows that there's something better in life than what they are having right now. Right? They know there's something more. They just don't know how to find it yet. They believe and hope for something better. They just don't know how to step through the door. To me, that's blessed are the poor in spirit. That's poor in spirit. It's like you're stuck in your circumstance and you know that there's something more. You have faith that there's something more. You just can't find it. Oh, there's one word. Faith. I think about the individuals that are not just coming to the U.S., but trying to enter into countries all over the world. They're fleeing poverty. They're fleeing war. They're fleeing people trying to kill them, and every border that they end up at, they're getting turned away and saying, no, not our house. But they keep trying, they keep striving for something more, and in a lot of cases, they're calling out to God for help. That's blessed are the poor in spirit. Yeah.
Kevin, when you were in the middle of your addiction, did you have that hope?
Yeah. Yeah.
You kept hoping for something better.
I kept hoping for something better or death. One or the other. I was cool with either one. Oh. Yeah. And it's a messed up place to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I think courage is a huge one. Because you need to have courage to step into something that's bigger than yourself. Jesus is bigger than all of us. And to be able to step into that, you got to have courage. You got to have that faith. And you got to be open to taking that step, right?
So she put hope down there too.
I'm getting there. Hope. Hope inspires courage. Hope inspires faith. And hope inspires an openness to be able to share these things with other people.
Talk to restorers, you know, the restorer, you know, that too. As far as like, God the restorer is in a relationship, right?
Well, you have to be open to redemption.
Yeah, redemption. He puts people in your path that maybe down the road you may have had a problem with them around the road, you know, way back when. Who knows? It could last 10 or 20 years you don't see the people.
I run into old cellies in the jail that I didn't get along with that are coming to my Bible studies now.
Yeah, isn't that something?
All these things my hands has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and troubles at my word. So that's from Isaiah. 66:2. I mean, there in Isaiah it says, those who are humble. Blessed are the humble in spirit. Or, what's at the core of our spirit? Besides Jesus. What's at the core of our spirit? What's the one thing that Jesus looks at?
The heart.
So if you flip it, blessed are the humble in heart. If we lead with our heart, we lead with the humility of our heart. Like, you guys are friggin' amazing at it. When we welcomed in John and Haley, They were strung out. They smelled funny. You guys didn't care. You guys were right there loving on them. You were interacting with them the way that you should. You were interacting with them as human beings. You didn't look at them as a less than because they were suffering. You didn't look at them as you were better than them because they were homeless. They came through the doors and you guys just loved them. And in that, John, later that day, sent me a message saying, Kevin, I've never gone to church because I've always felt looked down upon or judged. But I didn't feel like that there. I felt like a part of the family. And they came back for a little bit because of what you guys did for them just by loving them. Because you guys were humble in heart.
What's going on with them?
Yeah.
We'll get to that after the sermon.
There was a show on, I don't know, I think it was 4, might have been 5, on Friday night. Well, I don't know what night it was. It was Sunday. But it was about a school in Philadelphia or some inner city, whatever, and their thing was just love them. That was the title of the thing. Those kids coming in from whatever circumstances, they're in a neighborhood where there's drug deals going on. There was one mom that had 7 kids beyond what she can even handle in one room, but you don't be judging on that kid just because the mom has, you know, so many other kids. Each kid was loved by their teachers first. And then all kind of things that followed was the kids didn't feel stupid anymore, even though, you know, the school was according to the No Child Left Behind things, they tell you you're stupid. And it really was impactful, just how that love one-on-one with a person can wipe out all the other stuff, and you can just see heart to heart what they need, and those kids really needed that. So then they could get courage and hope and maybe read a little bit and learn and
I love
be
that.
Confident adults.
That's where it all begins. That's where it all starts. For us to be blessed are the humble in heart. Also means to be blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Because when we're humble, we don't boast to everybody. We don't drive Audis. Although I would really like one. God, you know, this church could just use a handful of brand new Corvettes. Just saying. No.
Studebaker, man.
The whole Studebaker. See, that's what I'm talking about. But, you know, we don't flaunt it. Something was said to me about this congregation once in meeting community people. It's the tiniest church in concrete, but it has the biggest heart.
You heard that?
Yeah, I heard that from people in the community that don't even come to this church. It's the tiniest church in the community, but it has the biggest heart. And something's to be said for that. Is we are blessed because we are the poor in spirit. We are the humble in heart. We don't boast. We don't brag about the stuff that we do or the stuff that we try to involve ourselves in the community. We just go do it. You know? And that is key. Why do we do it? It's because we love our community. We have hope for our community. We want to bless our community with courage and the faith to be open to trying new things to lift those people up. Those who are suffering.
I don't know how many of you feel the same. First time I walked into this church, I felt at home.
Yeah, the first time Danielle and I came in and shared our story, I mean, honestly, it was only Annie was the one that scared us.
I'm kidding.
No, you know, but when we came in and we did it, we were still really new at sharing our stories, and you guys didn't judge us for it. You said, yeah, come out and preach to us, and we did a little 5-minute sermon hidden in the corner, and look at where we're at. I think when we sat down, Anita went, really? Is that all? But, you know, it's look at where we're at now. It's amazing. It's
killers.
It all started here. Because of your humbleness in your heart. and wanting to bring forth the kingdom here in Congre. So Father, thank you for the heart of this community. Thank you for the heart of this church. Thank you for everybody that comes and just hangs out. Thank you for everybody that's ever been a part of the heart of this church, a part of your heart and involved in the community. Please bless us with an openness to continue your work here in concrete with steadfast faith in doing your word. Courage to step through doors that we wouldn't normally step through, and hope to not fall on our face. And thank you for giving us the love of your Son, and the love of you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, one more Bible verse to end on is, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Amen.
Can we sing, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes?"
My friends.